health care in rural Kentucky. This is sponsored by the Kentucky Folk History Foundation and the Oral History Commission. This is Tom Gatewood interviewing Dr. E.T. Smith. Dr. Smith has practiced here in Somerset for a number of years, since 1944. Prior to that, his father, R.M. Smith, practiced in Stearns, the Stearns Coal Camps. And Dr. E.T. Smith also had a brief stint where he worked in the mines himself during the war. Dr. Smith, where did you attend college? Get your medical training, rather?
Transylvania, in Lexington.
Was your father, where did he get his training?
He went to Transylvania too, in his college and University of Louisville. Same as I did.
When did he come? Had he had private practice before he came to Stearns?
Yeah, he went three or four towns. The only one I really know is East Burnstead, just north of London. Of course, all that was before I was born, so I could give you any exact.
Right, just that you remember that's where he was. Before he came to Stearns.
And then
you know about what year he came to Stearns?
Approximately, maybe 1950. I'm not sure it was.
When do you begin remembering things of? Do you remember any of his practice? Any things about him practicing there before you actually came back from medical school as a child? Do you remember anything in Coal Camp?
Oh, sure. After I was big enough, 5 or 6 years old, I remember.
Did he have an office there?
He had an office there at Stearns. Of course, when he first came there, he practiced in Worley. It was a mining camp. It was their biggest wet mining camp. That's where I was born.
I see. About how large was the camp there at Worley? Families, no
matter. Oh, no. It'd be impossible to say that. Of course, a lot of the miners that mine there live in Stearns. See, they had a train that came in that left Stearns at 5:30 every morning. Mm-hmm. A lot of the miners came out on the train. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, lived around in those small houses. I mean, it'd be impossible to say how many.
Did you have? You did have houses there, though, in the camp.
Yeah.
You had a store.
Had a store there. Mm-hmm. Had a good store there. Mm-hmm. It was on the Stearns corner.
Mm-hmm. Churches and things like that. Too.
Don't remember that. See, I left Worley when I was 3, so,
all right, so then,
it's almost impossible to remember
right.
Mine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But then your father then practiced out of Stearns itself. What did he after that?
From the time in 1921, we moved to Stearns and he practiced there the rest of his life.
What was the nature of his practice in terms of, did the people come to his office or did he go out to the homes?
Both. Did a lot of both. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of home deliveries.
How did he get his drug? There wasn't a drugstore thing there at the time, was there?
No, he dispensed practically all. But there was a drugstore went to the city, but see, he was a contract and he was supposed to furnish some meds. Awesome. Unless there was some kind of medicine that he wouldn't have had, and maybe the drugstore had, he could give him a prescription and make it.
How was the financial situation though? Was he, did they, the miners have a cut off so much amount and they paid in?
Yeah.
And then he was responsible to use that money. Did that money come directly to him, or was he on a salary from the company?
Well, I started coming to collect it. And see, there was more than one doctor worked for the Stern School. Right there.
Mm-hmm. One at least at each mining camp, and one or two in the main center, too.
One time, of course, that was maybe before I was born there. There were five or six doctors worked for him. Let's see. About the time I can first remember, I would say maybe three or four. I mean, there was another, maybe five or six there for a while. And they finally dropped some of them off, and at the time I went there, which was in January of 44, I believe there was just two other doctors there, and then I made three. And there was a doctor, Dr. Meese, who lived in Whitney City. Sometimes, if another doctor wasn't available, the Stern's home would pay him for probably a home call or something.
What can you kind of describe the nature of the work there when you went there out of medical school in 44? What type of work did you do? How was the nature of your practice?
Well, it was general practice. I did practice everything. I mean, of course, I delivered a lot of babies. Remember one time during the 24-hour period, I delivered five babies. And I'd say I was there about 19 months and a half. And I bet I delivered four babies. And of course, I did. I worked in the office, and as a rule, did a lot of home calls. In fact, did all the night calls for every doctor in the
county.
And I remember some weeks of being the only doctor in the county there, so.
Did you remember how did you relate to the midwives that were, or were there any practicing by the time you got there?
Probably some, I don't remember. I remember more of midwives in Pulaski County after I came up here. See, when I left Stern, I went to Hazard for a little over a year, and they had a hospital, and I helped them. I had got some good parts that I got the experience that I helped them assisting on surgery. And they had a little office there which I worked some in there. And which was a good experience for me when I came up here and I know I wasn't as green in the see that we had the new hospital at that time that opened up about 6 months before I came up here over here from Hazard.
When you came here, did the were there still a lot of home deliveries and midwives? Were many midwives operating at that time when you came here?
In Plaskett?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few, yeah. Mm-hmm. Several I gone out and helped them. Mm-hmm. When they get in trouble, they call them. Either me or maybe some other doctor. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times, maybe I wouldn't know about them, but of course I would know when I was called and said.
Did, at that time, y'all were making home calls too if you delivered babies, weren't you?
Yeah, it was common practice. Several doctors at that time did home deliveries, and it gradually got less and less. Finally got down to I was the last one, and I just had to quit because I couldn't do it. And at that time, I always practiced and build up so much that I didn't have time at all. Less time to a home delivery, but keep you out of the office all day. And
what year was that approximately, you think?
About 61 or 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, by that time, you had a lot of big office practice.
Yeah, I had
a big hospital.
I had a big office practice then, mm-hmm. and delivered in a big. I would average about 150 deliveries in the hospital, besides my office practice, and still then I had to do a lot of home, visits.
Mm-hmm. Not deliveries, but just visits.
Just home visits, wouldn't it?
You know, it's always intrigued me what happened to all the midwives. Why did they just sort of disappear? Any insight into that?
Well, I don't think they all ever disappeared. I don't guess they've all disappeared yet.
Well, not all together. There still seem to be a few practicing, but it doesn't seem like anywhere.
Now, what you said is there had one that did all those that didn't come up here at the hospital.
Yeah. That's right, Lena Stevens. But I think she's one of the few around here, though, isn't she?
Probably is. There may be some around that I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, say after I quit doing any home deliveries, I got out of touch with any midwives. So,
Back to the coal camp and mine medical work. I don't think you ever asked me, was the physician on a salary or did he get a certain percentage of what the people paid in?
Well, it was what's called a contract practice. It was depending on how many was working and
I see he got paid so much for so many miners.
Uh-huh. each employee for the Stern School I'm getting me paid so much a month. I believe when I first came here it was $1.50, maybe got $2. And all that went to doctors, spread out equally.
I see. So the money, all the money that was paid in was directly spread equally to the doctors?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rather than straight salary from the...
No, it wasn't. There was a straight salary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's always a contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, did the doctor also work that he did on people?
He could do minors? He could do anything. If he treated somebody that didn't work for Stokes and then like that, man, he could charge them.
I said, mm-hmm. How about members of the family, like the daughters or wives of the miners?
No, you had to get them all.
That was in the contract. He didn't get extra pay for that?
No, only thing he ever got extra pay was...
Just somebody outside?
Was a delivery. Didn't get much. They got $10 or $15.
Did you ever hear your father talk about some of the folk type medicine, either the midwives working with them or any of the country?
Not
doctors?
Really, no. Mm-hmm. Back, I remember when I was old, from 8 to almost to started college. A lot of the time, if he was going on a home call, and I'd go with him.
The people seemed real, real at home with him, you think? It wasn't, I mean, what I'm trying to think about, that there was a long period, up to the period these doctors came in, it seemed like they were more dependent on the old traditional ways of health. But they seemed to really take right to the model, the doctor.
Well, he was well-liked. He, mm-hmm. he had more friends, I guess, than anybody in Canada.
How do you travel around when you were going with him? How do you get to these places?
Well, at that time, they had pretty good cars then. Mm-hmm. Even, I think, when he first started there at Stearns, he did a lot of work on horseback. And the Model T's and then the Model A's. And about, about 35, I think, when this, maybe bought maybe a better car.
I imagine you stayed pretty busy, didn't you, with those people that you had to look after?
Oh, yeah. I remember last time of night, somebody would come get in and make a call at night. I'd be in bed and I wish I could have done it him there to go. Finally, I paid him back some. Not near as much as he had done.
Did he end his practice there in Stearns?
Yeah.
Did he start doing more private practice once the mines began to play out?
Well, I think about the last year or two, they quit. Certain doctors there got it the cotton gun to quit the system, and they did this private practice. Of course, that time I was away, and then...
When you came in here in 44, 45, what was it, right after the war, wasn't it?
No, it was during the war.
Right during the war, yeah. How did you set up practice, and did you say there was a real shortage of doctors then, and you... Were you pretty busy?
Oh, yeah. Just like I say, I did all the home business for all doctors.
You turned up here, not just in Stearns, you mean up here when you came?
No. Hmm. I'm talking about Stearns now.
Oh, I see Stearns, yeah, right, okay. I jumped over to this, was starting on this. Yeah, I remember
seeing
that.
See, Stearns had a motor car that would take you to any of the mining camps. And most time, if you have no beers or some kind of emergency, there's a man there, a special man that drove the motor car, and he would take me.
I've heard about those old motor cars.
Yeah, there was a doctor got killed on.
Was it Dr. Floyd?
Floyd. Yeah, he was really primitive. He just wasn't able, the driver was able to jump off and run, but he couldn't make it. That must have been while I was away in school, either in college or med school.
Do you remember some of the doctors that were there, besides Dr. Floyd?
Dr. Simpson, I knew him, and I knew his family. He had boys there that were pretty good friends of mine. And I had another doctor there that came there and helped him a lot, Dr. Blackerby. Came there and in 31 or 32 or something along there. I wasn't sure. It was about that time. And he stayed there until he had to go to the army, and then he came back and set up in Stanford.
When you came here after, when you were first came here, could you tell us a little bit about that, how you set your office up and started your practice here? You were a local person, weren't you? I mean, you'd raised up here and...
No, I was actually raised in Stearns.
I see. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But your father... See, I was born where I didn't raise in Stearns. Mm-hmm. Although my father...
Was from here, it was.
He was born in Pulaski County.
Right,
And just happened to come there for some reason. Not exactly an in-law, Mr. Wheel, and the new, his brother married me. And his sister. That's how he knew him. And I think through him was the way he happened to go to Stearns on Kirk County and work for
him. I see. What kind of diseases and things did y'all deal with mainly down? Do you remember?
Well,
just about.
Well, flu, measles, pneumonia, typhoid fever. Of course, good theory, you probably have sent them to hospital. We have sent a lot of patients to hospital.
I see. And the closest hospital must have been what, Lexington or
Danville.
Danville.
More, I guess, sent to Danville, but some of the better patients he sent to Lexington, and he even sent out to Louisville. He knew all those big, best doctors in the world. Uh-huh. Lexington, Louisville.
Did he? I guess they usually would send them on the train, would they?
As I like, he did. He took them in his car.
I see. Hmm.
Or they had an ambulance there that took. Now, I don't remember what year they sent the funeral home up, but. Now, I don't know very few that they sent
a train.
A train unless it was somebody that just for a checkup of some kind. Mm-hmm.
So you started your practice here about the time this hospital had been completed, huh?
Yeah, about 6 months after it was opened.
And did your office, did you move right in here, this building, doctor's building?
No, for a long time I had an office living on East Mount Vernon. Town, downtown, they got dead, and the fellow that owned the office I was in, he sold it to own the store, and my office was upstairs, he owned the whole building, so I just happened to I needed this fellow, and this has been an office building for a long time. This was built about 1950 again.
How do you get a practice started? It must be kind of slow for a while till you can.
Really, the way I build up as fast as I did was, like I was talking about, these older doctors at night wouldn't go out and they'd call me and lots of times if they liked me, they'd come in and maybe their whole families, neighbors, especially on home delivery is the best way in the world to build up practice. If you go and stay there 2, 3, 4 hours,
get to know
every woman in the community. and if they think you did a good job, first thing you know, you've got several.
Is it kind of a tradition that women will come to when a woman is having a baby in that time? Do they?
Oh yeah, always. Practically always. Not necessarily some wouldn't, but if you're in a pretty good community and all women know it's a family. There'd be 4 or 5 back there at the time.
Did they help kind of with
it? Oh, they'd help. They'd help. They'd clean the baby and baby clean the bed up. They'd all that.
They'd get in the way or just?
No, really not, no.
They knew what to do, and sort of, they knew what the role they were going to do.
Yeah, they were a big help. I never knew one that Jimmy in trouble.
What form of regulation do you remember that you had when you first started practicing in dispensing drugs? Was there much regulation at that point? Or?
No regulation. I mean, you had a form that you ordered narcotics. I mean, you didn't have even barbiturates. There wasn't any regulation at all. One thing was narcotics. Mm-hmm. And you had a tablet with 10 forms. You'd order that many. And the state or the federal government is the one that would know every time how many you ordered.
So it's just has there been any?
Most of my narcotics I ordered in a liquid form, I might give myself if they need to call that or attack or maybe any kind of severe pain that I thought they needed. But I did dispense a little codeine, but just we weren't too strict on codeine.
Has there been a tightening up on it of recent years?
All you have to do is keep. Well, when the drug abuse law came in, you had to. Well, after that, I haven't dispensed it in 15 or more years. Well, really, after I came here, I did very little dispensing. I did just enough that I would carry in my office, in my grip to make it. If I would go out to a patient, they need some lax and cream. Few codeine tablets, I might give them a half a dozen and a prescription. If they was going to need more. Or maybe, like say, second hours, I dispensed some of them, I might give them about 10 or so out every year.
The druggist here, you work closely, I guess, with him. Which druggist did you work with?
It was called Plasky. Bagley bullied over, took it over. Sometime in about 65 years. And I did more with them than they did. All the ordering I needed to do. I mean, I wouldn't have contact with too many drug salesmen to order stuff, so I just let the drugstore order for me.
Well, I guess you lived through this period where with Medicare and Medicaid, I noticed a sign out there. Do you discourage that type of payment in your practice?
I don't discourage it. I've almost had to do it done. you don't pay anything anymore to my type. But the way it started out, they certainly didn't get anything. But even office calls, I think $2, and maybe a home visit was $3 or something like that. But I did a lot of that. But when my fees went up above what one last couple of years, Medicaid got to the point that they don't pay much, especially my time. Now, some of these that have do a lot of lab work and have laboratories and do a lot of lab work can make enough, they make money out of it. But right now, for under 65s, we can only have one initial visit. That'll pay $10. The rest of them only visit $7 is all you get. And the office, the work, the secretary of work is more worth more than that, really.
That's
interesting. I didn't know. And lots of times they turn you down, or they say it's a mistake, and it's just got, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've quit seeing any new ones. I quit seeing any on Saturdays, because they don't excuse for them. Not come during the week. And, mm-hmm. And it's got to the point now I won't see over 8 or 10 patients a week on Medicaid.
That's interesting. That's something I wasn't aware of, that the so low payments for office calls. And
that's well, what? Who's getting it all now is these nursing homes and laboratories and these they're paying these surgeons for these some of these big fees. Just that same as Medicare.
I don't understand why there's a distinction between that work and the work of a general practitioner.
A specialist gets more. They pay them more than there was a general practice. So they just got pointed out. I was trying to get out of it.
No, it's not that you don't, that you... Yeah, I understand you. I'm glad I asked that question. I was hesitant to ask it. Yeah, I see what you mean.
I mean, it wasn't... It wasn't worth doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm due for something.